Hey everyone, welcome to the Faith Chapel podcast. We are so glad to have you join us. Faith Chapel exists to help people follow Jesus, be transformed by Jesus, and be on mission with Jesus. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. If you have any questions about who we are or what you hear, you can visit faithchapel.cc or email podcast@faithchapel.cc. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's dive into this week's message.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Hi to everybody that's online. I don't know if you know this or not, but your online services go lots of different places in the United States as well as locally. This morning, I'm going to give you a message that is a topical message, not a textual message. What I mean by that is your pastor, Nate, is one of the best at taking a text of Scripture and just mining out all the truths in that passage, historical, cultural things, and then bringing great application. I'm not going to give that kind of a message today. It's a topical message, and it's a subject that is very, very familiar to you. When I tell you what it is, nobody's going to say, oh, I didn't know that. But it's one of those things that we need to be reminded of pretty regularly. So let's pray before we continue. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people who love you. And pray that your spirit, whether somebody's at home or in this room, your spirit would rest upon us. Give me wisdom and grace today and say the thousands of words that I could never say. We give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to introduce you to Peaches. Peaches is a woman who attends the congregation where I'm leading right now. Her name kind of says it all. I bet you don't know anybody named Peaches. She's on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale. If she would walk into the room this morning, you would notice her. She would kind of stand out. And Peaches is one of the most gracious, kind, loving people that I know. One of the things that she does is every Christmas, she gives everyone in our church something for Christmas. The first year I was there, she found out that I ride a Harley, so she gave me this little scene that has a mountain and has a Christmas tree that's got lights on it. It's got a Harley sitting beside the mountain. I mean, it was so great. I actually took it home and the next year used it as part of our Christmas celebration at home, along with what she gave me the next year, which was a picture of Jesus, one of the modern pictures of Jesus that she probably got at a dollar store. And also there was a Wilma Flintstone heating glove, you know, to keep you from burning your hands. I assume that was for Ginger. So I took all of these things and I put them on the table in front of our family and I talked about generosity and how wonderful it is to be a giving person, even though you might not have much. And I used Peaches as this great example. So I want to talk to you today about loving God and loving people. Nobody is shocked by that phrase. It's one of the most familiar concepts in Christianity. And frankly, the most important concept in Christianity according to Jesus Christ himself. So I want to read to you out of the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can just listen as I begin verse 1. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, notice this phrase, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, I came up with a little algebra-like formula for those words. It says, anything minus love equals nothing. In other words, that's a pretty significant list of things there. Anything we do, If love is not included in that, if it's not done in a loving way, then it adds up to absolutely nothing, according to the scriptures. It's a little bit like you get something, but then you need to be reminded once in a while. I've got these lights in our kitchen. There are three rows of lights. I think there's probably five bulbs in each row, and they're up high enough where it's hard to get to them. And so once in a while, one of the bulbs will start flickering. You know, making a peanut butter sandwich is a little bit like Star Wars peanut butter sandwich. It just flickers on and off and on and off and on and off. Drives you crazy, but then it'll stay on. And then a little while later, it'll start flickering again. Our minds are like that. When it comes to loving God and loving people, I think probably most of us in the room would say, I get that. You know, I've heard that before. I understand that. But we forget, and it kind of flickers. We start missing it at times in our lives, and hopefully this morning as I go through this, you'll recognize some areas in your own life. It's challenging to love people the way Jesus asks us to love people. There was a woman that attended our church a few months ago. She came in. We have just a small congregation. She came in, sat down on the front row, and she looked pretty much like everybody else in the church looks. But when I got up to preach, she started talking to me. So you can imagine, you know, if he starts talking to me in the middle of the message, it's a little disconcerting. So I stopped and I talked to her for a minute, and I said, you know, it's my turn to talk now, so you can, I'd be glad to talk to you afterwards. And I started going, and she just kept talking. So finally, a couple of guys came out and stood beside her and tried to convince her to stop talking. She was furious. She stood up, and they walked her out of the room, and she was talking the whole time. And then just as she left, just as she's walking out the door, at the top of her lungs, she screamed, F you! That was a little disconcerting. She didn't use the abbreviated form, of course. And I stood there for a minute, and I thought, well, what do you do? And so I just started laughing. And we have a huge plaque in our church that says, no perfect people allowed. Well, you can tell that there are certainly no perfect people in our church. Now, I want you to think about the difference between arm's length love, hands-on love, and heart-to-heart love. Arm's length love is something that probably all of you have done at some time or another, where you're driving down the street, you're stopped by a stoplight, there's somebody standing on the corner who has a sign, you know, God bless you for helping me or whatever, and you hand them a $5 bill and you go on your way. That's arm's length help. And that's a good thing. But there's another kind of love that is hands-on love, where you actually, you know, hand somebody something and you have a conversation perhaps with them. It's a little bit more intimate. And then there's heart-to-heart love, which is where you sit down and you talk to a person, you get to know them. And in many cases, they're extremely difficult to love, but you work through all of that and have a heart-to-heart relationship with them. And it's messy. It's messy to love people. Now, my sermon this morning consists, excuse me, of three questions. Here's the first. Can you think of any reason why God should not love the world? Well, as soon as I asked that question, you could just start rattling off things of why God, you know, has every reason not to love the world. The realm of politics, for example. And I'm not just talking about politicians, I'm talking about you. At least many of us. You mentioned the name Donald Trump, and some people just go off. Schumer, the other half of America will go off, or Pelosi. And one of the things I want you to think about this morning is, are you as passionate about Jesus as you are about politics? I said that to our church a few weeks ago, and I even said, you know, it shows. Your passion for politics at times is much more obvious than your passion for Jesus. That's a little indicting, isn't it? But we have such rancor in our nation right now that that's It's hard not to get really passionate about it. Ginger and I were in Paris a few years ago, tourists, and we went to the Louvre, which is an immense museum, huge building. But we couldn't see any obvious way where there was an entrance where you could go into the building. So we looked around, we walked over to one side and then another, and then I saw this police van with five policemen sitting in it. So I walked over and I said to the man, where's the entrance to the Louvre? And he looked at me like I was crazy. So I thought maybe he didn't understand me. And I asked him again. I says, where is the entrance to the Louvre? And he said, you're standing right in front of it. This meaner than the Dickens. I thought, go to Normandy. Maybe you'll be nicer to Americans in Normandy. You know, he was an ornery guy. Krautheimer, many of you remember that name. He was a newspaper columnist, a psychiatrist who became a political commentator, wrote newspaper columns and was on Fox News for a long, long time as one of their commentators. And he said one of the major functions of civilization, of society, is to civilize men. I thought that was so great. And I thought about that guy when I heard him say that. Now, I can think of a million reasons, and so can you, why God would have reason not to love people. But listen to these very basic scriptures. For God so loved, what? The world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Then 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, notice this, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. So he's saying if you're going to get involved praying for those that are in authority, that we may live a peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Notice these words. That's why I read the passage. Who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Now, how could you read those two passages of Scripture and not understand that God loves everyone? There's not a day of your life when God has not loved you. He wants all people to come to the truth. Will they all? No. But he wants them to. Who did Jesus die on the cross for, according to those scriptures? All people. Who does God want to be saved? Everyone. And again, they won't all be, but he wants them to be. Now, we have a kind of an acronym for our values at Hope Center. It's HOPE, spelled this way. The H stands for we help everyone as we're able. O is opportunity. Everybody gets another chance. I didn't say everybody gets a second chance. Everybody gets another chance. I needed more than one, didn't you? P is potential, that everybody would see their potential. Some people, you know, the woman that I gave an illustration about a few minutes ago, she didn't think she has potential, but she does. And then E is for expectancy, the hope that everybody would be expectant about a better future. So first of all, can you think of any reason why God would not love the world? We all do. Second question is, can you think of any reason why God should not love you? I bet you can. You know, if you've lived any kind of a life at all, then you've given God every reason, you know, to dislike you and not to love you. You know, with me, I stole candy bars when I was a little kid. I stole magazines when I was a little kid. I stole gas when I was in high school. I stole a car with my brother when I was in the third grade. That's just one little category. I mean, there you can broaden that category out significantly over the years. So, you know, when it comes to sin, I brought my sin spray with me this morning. And, I mean, don't you just want to just eradicate sin once in a while? Somebody does something, you see somebody just get rid of that sin and get rid of that sin and get rid of that sin. But I want to hold the can. And what I've come to realize is if I'm going to eradicate sin, then I'm going to have to point it at myself. And I'm sure that you're probably included in that as well. Now listen to this great passage in Romans chapter 5. You see, just at the right time, when you were still powerless, think about just before you received Christ, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person. For a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You hear people constantly say, well, God would never accept me. I'm not good enough. As though it's up to us to be good enough before God accepts us. It's just the opposite. He doesn't ask us to climb the ladder. You try, well, I'm going to do better and better and better, and then you slip. But he comes down the ladder. Imagine this. God came down the ladder and reached into your life in the midst of your sinfulness and extended his hand to you and said, take my hand, I'll show you how to live. It's not up to us. He doesn't want you to pay the price. He's already paid the price for your sins. The Bible says that God's mercy, that God is rich in mercy. Now think about this. I love this. God has more than enough mercy. He's not poor in mercy, where he's going to eke it out and run out of mercy. He's not just adequate in mercy, where he's got just enough, but it says he is rich in mercy. He's got more than enough mercy. And then another passage says that his mercies are new every morning. So there are some days when you kind of use up mercy and you use up mercy and you use up mercy and you're about to run out of, I think he's about to run out of mercy, but you wake up the next day and it's new. It's new every morning. God will never run out of mercy in your life and in mine. The third question is, can you think of any reason why God would not ask you to love people the way he loves you? In other words, God is just asking a very simple thing of us. I want you to love people like I've loved you. Follow my example. Yet this is the most important thing. He said the way that people will know you're a Christian is if you love one another. So I was on my Harley one day pulling out of a parking lot, CJ's parking lot, getting ready to pull out on the street and turn left up towards Central. And this pickup came roaring by, slammed on his brakes, stopped at the stop sign, and then took off. And running down the street behind the pickup was this young woman. She was probably in her early 20s, beautiful blonde girl. And she came running down the street and had this panicked look on her face. And so I pulled out onto the street, pulled up to Central Avenue and stopped. And she came running up beside me. So I'm sitting on my motorcycle. She comes running up beside me. And she kind of looked at me and went like this, like she wanted to get on my bike. And so I sat there for a minute and I said, do you need to catch that pickup? She said, yes, I do. And she was panicked looking. So I said, hop on. So she did. So I'm riding down the street. I know most people in town. And as I'm riding down the street, then I started thinking, what would Ginger say if she saw me? What if I have a wreck? And gosh, I just thought, you're a jerk. And I kept going. Fortunately, it didn't take me long to find the pickup, and I pulled up behind the pickup, and she jumped off and waved and went down the street. I'm just trying to be the good Samaritan, you know. Wasn't thinking very well at the time, I guess, but ultimately, I guess I'm pretty glad I did it. Let no debt remain outstanding. In other words, pay your bills. Except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So notice that phrase, the continuing debt to love one another. In other words, that debt's never going to be paid. I owe Jesus a debt of gratitude for what he's done in my life. And so do you. And I can work at it and work at it and work at it and love people and love people and love people. That debt's never going to be paid. You know, you love people and you love people. And you think, well, maybe the debt's getting close. And then you blow it again and this debt starts all over again. We'll never get that debt paid. He's asking us to love people the way that he loves us. I'll put it this way. You have a moral obligation to love people. Not just the people that you like. Jesus asks us even to love our enemies, to love our neighbors, to love the people in our family, to love all people. So Jesus told this parable about a man who owed a huge debt, and he was taken into custody and was told that he was going to be held in jail until his debt was paid. He pled for mercy. And the person that he owed the money to was merciful and set him free. He walked away and found someone who owed him just a little bit of money. So he's got this huge debt that was forgiven. He finds somebody that owes him just a little bit of money, and he takes them and throws them in jail and says, you will not be free until your debt is paid. I always thought that was kind of strange. Not ever going to be paid. So Jesus told this parable, and the man pled for mercy, but he wouldn't give him mercy. So Jesus told the parable, and he said these words, I canceled that huge debt of yours. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? So that's what Jesus is saying to us today. I forgave you of so much. Shouldn't you be forgiving and loving toward other people? Shouldn't you give them the break that I gave you? Your debt has been paid by me. So I was walking out of the church one day. We keep our door locked. It's in the south side. We keep our door locked mostly because we don't have the personnel to serve, you know, everybody that walks by. And so I'm leaving that day, and I locked the front door. And there's a bench on each side of the front door with a heater above so people can stay warm. And I looked over, and I saw this woman sitting on this bench. And she looked at me, and she had kind of a mean look on her face. And she said, why do you keep that door locked? And so I tried to explain to her as graciously as I could that we just didn't have the personnel to take care of everybody. I said, I'm sorry. And she looked at me, and she got up, and she looked at me, and she said, you don't know God. You can imagine what that made me feel like. You don't know God. And she turned to walk away, and I could see that she had wet her pants. She was mad because she had to go to the bathroom really bad and the door was locked and she couldn't get in. Well, I walked across the street, got in my truck, and I sat there and I just prayed and I thought, Lord, I felt so horrible. And I literally said this. I said, Lord, I do know you, but I don't know what to do. Since I've been down there the last 3.5 years, I mean, there's been so many times that I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. So the next week, we have a little staff, and we had a little staff meeting, and I told them what had happened. And I said, what can we do? I don't know what to do about that. So one of our staff members said, why don't we put a porta potty, construction porta potty, in the parking lot? Well, that's a great idea. Somebody else said, well, isn't it illegal? I said, I don't care. If it's illegal, they can tell us about it, and we can move it. Let's give it a shot. It's been there for a couple of years now. And it's used very frequently. And we named our porta potty. It's called Hope Center West. Loving people. By the way, this woman that walked away, the next Easter she was baptized. Comes to church every week. Her name is Bobby. She comes up after I preach. Every week she comes up and gives me a hug, tells me how much she loves me. And gosh, that makes it worth it, doesn't it? Just to love somebody with hands-on love, heart-to-heart love changes everything. I'm going to challenge you to do something. You know, Nate's going to be back next week, I guess. I don't have to come back and listen to you, so I can say what I want to, I guess. If you want to write to me, it's Nate Petzl at Faith Chapel. Could I challenge you to find someone of a different political persuasion than you and get to know them? Find out why they believe what they believe. You'll probably be shocked. It's not like half of the nation is stupid and half of the nation is smart, depending on your perspective. There are a lot of good people, godly people on both sides. You say, well, I don't believe that. If you don't believe that, then find one. Introduce yourself and sit down and ask them some questions about why they believe what they believe. You'll probably be shocked. Find someone of a different race. Someone asked me a few months ago, do you have race relations discussions in your church? I said, no, we don't need to. We've got 4 or 5 different races and we all get along wonderfully. Everybody feels welcome. Find someone of a different race. You know, find somebody, gosh, this is gonna, I'll probably get news for this. Find somebody who says Black Lives Matter and find out why that is meaningful to them. My natural response is all lives matter. But there's a reason that they emphasize Black Lives Matter. Find someone who's a different religion than you are. Talk to them. Find out why they believe what they believe and what it is that they do believe. You'll be amazed. I'm not saying that you're going to concur when you're through that discussion, but you might understand and be able, how can you love someone, maybe love an enemy, if you don't sit down and have a discussion with them and talk to them about that? I'd use it this way. Love people in a remarkable way. Love people in a way that they would say, oh my word, I've never seen anybody love people like she does. That's what Jesus said would be the identifying mark of a Christian. Walk up to somebody and say, how do you know a Christian? They might give all kinds of reasons. Jesus said it's because of the way that they love one another. So love people in a remarkable way. Even me, if I just offended you.
We hope that this helps you take your next step on your spiritual journey. If you'd like to get involved with the work and ministry of Faith Chapel, visit faithchapel.cc and click on Next Steps. If you'd like to speak to a pastor or connect with us in any way, email connect@faithchapel.cc. We look forward to connecting with you soon.